This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Children, especially young children, are curious about the world around them. They'll press any random button they see, follow sounds, all while not really thinking too hard about their actions. And the same goes for putting things in their mouths, especially if it looks like candy. According to a study published by the American Academy of Pediatrics, there has been a 1,375% increase in pediatric edible cannabis exposure over the past 5 years. It's prompted pediatricians to urge parents and cannabis dispensaries alike to use caution to prevent children from being further exposed to edible cannabis. Joining us now to talk about the study and how to keep your child safe if you do have edible cannabis in the house is Dr. Michael Wall. He's director, medical director of the Illinois Poison Center and a physician specializing in medical toxicology and emergency medicine at North Shore Medical Group out of Evanston, Illinois. Dr. Wall, welcome to the 21st Show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Listeners, as ever, you can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or send us an email, talk@21stshow.org. So, Dr. Wall, I wonder if you can just tell us a little bit more about this study of which you were a co-author.
Yeah, so the study was really looking at poison center data. There are 55 poison centers in the U.S., and all their data goes up to a single sort of point. So there's an ability to see what are the types of cases that poison centers are getting. And we were curious, that myself and two other researchers, is what was the national data showing? Because we did see a really large increase in Illinois between the same time period of 2017 to 2021. And what we found was that there was an increase of about almost 1,400% from 2017 to 2021 in that time period.
1,400%. So what's behind that? Why do you think that's happening?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And what I would say is that when working with big data sets like this, it's really hard to say exactly why it's happening. But I think that there were two things at play. One was the increasing legalization of recreational marijuana. More and more states are allowing that and decriminalizing it. So people are more comfortable with having marijuana products or cannabis products rather, including cannabis edibles in the home. And the other thing that we found was that there really seemed to be an increase during the pandemic. And certainly there are some states which came online with legal cannabis, such as Illinois at that time. But it looks like the kids were a little bit sicker as well. So either the cannabis products were more potent, or what I think is more likely is there was just more available in the house and they would eat larger quantities, which then led to higher toxicity.
How does this present in kids? As an emergency physician, what makes you suspect that this is, or are parents just coming in with the empty bag?
So it happens both ways, you know, especially in reviewing our charts and what happens in the ER is that sometimes parents know, right? The child is found with the bag, which may be empty or partially eaten, or they see that the child is acting funny and their edibles are missing. But then sometimes what happens is it's kind of undifferentiated. The child comes in with it really being lethargic, not being themselves, having a certain amount of depression of their mentation. And in the workup, there might be a drug screen, which will show THC. And then when questions, the parents will go, oh my goodness, yes, we do. I do have it in my purse or we have it at home, but it never occurred to us. So it can happen as a known event. And sometimes it's an unknown event that needs to be figured out by the emergency physicians at the bedside.
For our listeners who may not be familiar with modern cannabis dispensaries and how this stuff works, it's not, no judgment, it's not my particular drug, but what are we talking about here? I gather there are like gummy bears that are laced with cannabis. How much of those should an adult consume? Do you have an idea about that?
Yeah, so there are lots of different products that are in edibles. They can be soda pop and chips, chocolates, mints, various hard candies, Nerd ropes, Rice Krispie treats, brownies. But when we did a separate study, we found that 50% of the kids who were intoxicated and ended up in the hospital had eaten gummies. And we think about gummies, they may have 2.5 milligrams up to 10 milligrams. We usually think of that as being an adult dose. So if a 200-pound male eats one gummy, maybe two if they're experienced, to get the desired effect. But a child is not, they're not really not going to stop at one gummy or two gummies. They're going to eat the whole bag. And
This is
so,
why I can never consume this product, because who can eat one gummy bear? That sounds insane to me.
right.
Yeah.
But think about it in terms of weight. A child may weigh 20 pounds and an adult male weighs 200 pounds. There's a tenfold difference. But a child can eat 10 times more, right? If in Illinois, the bags are limited at 100 milligrams. If other states, and they are brought into Illinois, have 500 milligrams. If a child eats 500 milligrams, it's 50 times the adult dose, and they weigh 10, a tenth the amount. So, on a milligram per kilogram or on a weight-based basis, these children are ingesting gargantuan amounts of THC, which is, I think, why we're seeing such a severe toxicity, things that we don't really see in adults.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Michael Wall, who is medical director of the Illinois Poison Center, a physician specializing in medical toxicology and emergency medicine at North Shore Medical Group, and an author on a recent report that found a massive 1,375% increase in pediatric edible cannabis exposure over the past 5 years. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. How do you treat this? So kid comes into the ER, maybe it's one of those cases where you know right away the parent found them with a half-empty bag. What do you do?
Yeah, so I think for the vast majority of cases, it is totally reasonable just to let them sleep it off, supportive care, and make sure that nothing untoward happens until their body metabolizes all the THC and they wake up and they can go home. And I think that really happens quite often. In these other more severe cases, occasionally children have to be put on breathing machines because they are unable to adequately protect their airway, which is kind of technical, but if they are comatose enough, if they can't handle their saliva, or if they look like they might be throwing up, or they're having throwing up, or they are throwing up, you need to put in a breathing tube to make sure that they don't aspirate their vomit or any other issues so that they well, basically continue to live, so they don't choke essentially and die.
What should a parent do if they find their child has ingested edible cannabis? Is this something they should observe at home, take him to the hospital? What's the recommended course of action?
Yeah, so what I would recommend is to call the Illinois Poison Center. We do have triage guidelines if we get an idea as to how much they may have eaten and the dose that is in each edible. They may be well enough to stay at home. Maybe a little sleepy, but not much we're going to, is going, is expected to happen. But if they pass this triage threshold in terms of amount ingested by body weight, they really should be seen in the hospital, and we can facilitate that transfer.
I know Illinois has long had a law that says if someone is overdosing, you can't, there's a good Samaritan, where you can't be arrested for giving them transport to the hospital. But what would you say to someone who maybe is afraid of calling the authorities in fear of repercussions for their letting their kid, even if it's accidentally, ingest edible cannabis?
Yeah, I think really at that point in time, the most important thing is the life of the child, right, and the health of the child. So let's take care of the child first, make sure that they stay healthy and can live good long lives, and the rest of it kind of gets worked out. I mean, the reality is that in Illinois, we get maybe about 40,000 calls on children under the age of 5 every year. They are all accidental. You turn your back just for a second, and kids get into things that you would never have expected them to get into, especially under the age of 3. This is a common thing. It's not at all due to bad parenting. There are bad situations that sometimes happen out of everyday activities.
And the vast majority of those cases are not getting calls to DCFS, then necessarily, is what you're saying.
No, and I think that really is going to depend on the people at the bedside in terms of the hospitals and what their policies are on how to deal with that.
What are some ways that parents can prevent their children from getting access to edible cannabis in the first place?
Yeah, so I think one of the first things that I am thinking of is that most people think of edible cannabis as being a food product that is infused with a drug. I think we need to switch that and really think of them as a drug in which the food is the delivery vehicle. So one of the things is to store them safely, and we are recommending to not store them anywhere near the kitchen. And that's because that's where kids get mixed up. They can't tell the difference between a normal gummy and a cannabis gummy. That's where caregivers, whether it's a babysitter or a grandparent, can mix these things up. And we do see that where these mistakes are made just because of a confusion of what the product does. So I would say store them safely, out of sight, out of reach, but definitely not in the kitchen. And store them in opaque containers, so dark containers where kids can't see what's inside of them. You know, a gummy is attractive, but a dark, opaque container which does not show the gummies may be less attractive. The
I
other
hear
thing
you.
is to, when you buy them, and here in Illinois, it is a law that they are in opaque packages without pictures on them, but sometimes will bring them in from out of state, is don't buy them in packages that look like real candy. So Nerd Ropes, which can have up to 500 milligrams of THC at gargantuan amounts, really shouldn't be in a household with small kids because the kids can't tell the difference between a THC rope and a regular Nerd Rope. And another thing is not to consume THC products in front of your children. 2 and 3 year olds will want to imitate their parents. And so if they see their parents eating THC gummies or THC brownies, they're going to want some as well. And then last but not least is to talk to family members and friends and caregivers as to whether or not THC edibles are in the or cannabis edibles are in the home. I think about 8% of our cases, when we looked at it here in Illinois, the exposure happened in a home, but it was not the residence of the child. And so it was really on a play date or a babysitter or some other issue where the child got into the cannabis. And I think that if people are mature enough to use cannabis edibles at home, they should be mature enough to talk to other people about them and how to keep the small children safe who are in that environment.
Only about a minute left in our time together. Do you see, we've been talking mostly about the individual owner of the edible cannabis. Is there a public policy response that's necessary here, regulation or law that should help prevent future cases from occurring?
You know, I think that's really controversial. If we look at some areas in Canada, some provinces, edibles are banned just because not only the effect on children, but if you look at the ER data, all ages end up being affected by edibles and going to the hospital. Whereas whether it is flower, whether you're smoking a joint or vaping or extracts, that really doesn't seem to change it. It's really just edibles. But that being said, that process takes years. Whereas, you know, kids are being poisoned now. So I think really providing strategies and implementing those strategies on how to keep kids safe in homes that have cannabis edibles is probably the best and fastest way of preventing poisoning in the now and in the future.
Dr. Michael Wall is medical director of the Illinois Poison Center and a physician specializing in emergency medicine and medical toxicology at North Shore Medical Group out of Evanston. Dr. Wall, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
And that's all the time we have for our program today. Coming up tomorrow, who is being served by the justice system? This came up a little bit in our first conversation, especially the parts of the system set up to help families and children. We'll talk with law professor Daniel Hatcher, who's the author of the new book, Injustice, Inc. He argues courts are monetizing already struggling communities, perpetuating a cycle of poverty. That's coming up tomorrow on the 21st Show. Subscribe to our podcast at our website, 21stshow.org. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just search for The 21st Show. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Owen Henderson and Anaya Jones. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.